I should have played this at the beginning of the week.
Yes, you should have.
590 WKZL. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Michael Lott and Jim McKinney here with you on this Friday. Jeremy's back on Monday, so... And I get to go back to the morning show. All will be in stasis here. You know? Do we decide to mess things up again? You never know. It could happen. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock, WKZO News Time, 79 in Kalamazoo. Is it cloudy out there? I think kind of a little. Not
a
much.
Little bit, but
yeah,
not a lot.
Not much. There's some sun. It's a nice little breeze. It's good. You know, it's good stuff. Okay, so I'm bringing this up only because it's this. We used to say there's, was it lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a poll done by the Gallup organization. Just so you know, we're talking about a credible organization here, okay? Why they would do this, I have no clue, but they're doing it. They released a poll today looking at the president's approval ratings by religion. That's an interesting tack. Now, why they would do it 6 years into his, you know, term, I don't know. And if you just looked at this report, okay, and I'll give you the categories. Their categories are Muslim. Oh, hang on a second. Muslim, non-Christian, Jewish, no religion, atheist, Catholic, Protestant, other Christian, Mormon, Latter-day Saints. Those are the seven categories in which people, decided that they would do this. Okay, going from the bottom up. Okay, the religion or that they took the poll. That has the smallest approval rating of the president is the Mormons. 18% approval rating, 78% disapproval. So a little bit of a gap there,
A little bit.
Protestant, other Christian, 37% approval, 58% disapproval. Catholics, 44% approval, 51% disapproval. Atheist, or no religion, 54% approval, 38% disapproval. Okay. Jewish, 55% approval, 41% disapproval. Disapprove. Other non-Christian. I'm trying to figure this one out. I'm guessing that's like Baha'i.
Confucianism.
Buddhism.
Taoism.
Taoism.
Hinduism.
The religion that Timothy Leary's brother, Really Leary, believes in, which is that when you die, your soul goes to a garage in Buffalo. This is a George Carlinism, by the way, so don't blame me for that one. Anyway, seriously, though, non-Christian, 59% approval, 34% disapproval. The highest approval rating, according to by religion, okay, is the Muslims. 72% approves, 20% disapprove. Now, before you go all ape crazy on me here and go, I knew that! I knew that the president was going to, and he's got it. No. Okay, first of all, one of the smallest populations of religious people in America are the Muslims. There's a very high concentration of them here in Detroit, or in Dearborn, actually. But as far as overall, there's only like 1.2 million, I think 1.2 million Muslims in the United States. Saying that 78% are in favor of what he's doing is kind of misleading. Okay? There are more, and the other thing is there aren't as many Jews either. There are more Catholics in America than there are Jewish people or Muslim people. So I'm just saying the statistics are kind of misleading a little,
mm-hmm.
You know? You have to take... you have to take the statistics in consideration with the population of that particular religion. 54% of 20 million is better than 72% of like maybe 1.2 or 1.3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing is that you can't really look at this and go, well, the reason that was because they all think he's mutton. No, they're not. No. Most of the people that believe in what the president is doing believe in what he's doing because that they align with his political beliefs. they're liberals or they're conservatives or they're, you know, whatever. Not because of the religion that they are, okay? Now, that as far as the 72%, maybe those 70, you know, they were doing this poll according to religion, but maybe 72% of them have liberal views, and that's why they voted that way. I mean, you know, you can twist these any way you want to, seriously. But I have a sneaking suspicion, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to get in trouble with some people, that there are some people on the right that are going to take these statistics and run off the end of the earth with them. Because you can twist statistics. I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I'm gonna mention a network. I'm not going to mention anybody on that network. But I'm thinking there's at least one commentator on Fox News that's going to come out and they're going to grab this poll and they're going to run with it. Seriously.
But the thing is, they won't tell you how big that population size is.
You're not going to know a lot of the and this would be the, and I'm going to reverse it. If, say, the Catholics had said 72% approval rating, okay? And maybe MSNBC took it and ran to the nth degree with it. They would do the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm,
networks are not notorious for giving you a lot of background. They're just going to do the face story and hope that you're either shocked by it or you say, oh, okay, I believe that. You got to dig a little, you know. So the only reason I brought this poll up is because this is a poll that on its face value you would think would have some sort of meaning or whatever. It doesn't. It really doesn't. All it shows is that the Muslim population in the United States believes that the president is doing a great job, and that the Mormon population in the United States think that he's not doing a good job, and everybody else is kind of in the middle someplace. Seriously. Okay? Don't take it too seriously. But because it's Gallup, and I don't know who at Gallup decided this was a good idea. But, you know, they can do anything they want to because they have the power behind their polls. So, hey, Ron, how you doing?
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Cool.
It sounds to me like the one that's twisting this poll is you.
Why? Tell me. Show me.
You're going all over the place trying to excuse the fact that, you know, what the results are. And you said a few things about some of these groups that I don't think you have any idea you can prove or disprove.
What did I say that I can't prove or disprove? I'm going to make you show me. Because I think all I said was that you could take this poll at face value, but you don't know the population numbers behind it. And 72% of 1.5 million people is not as much as, say, 54% of 20 million. That's a stone-cold mathematic fact.
Absolutely.
I could prove it on my calculator right now. That was the main focus I'm saying. But I am saying that because we are a nation of commentators and contributors, things like that, there are people that probably would take this poll and take it and twist it to what they want it to be because people do that with polls.
Okay, do I get the challenge now?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Number one, you said that people supported Obama because they were liberal or they were conservative,
or
what
because
their beliefs were.
Yeah, exactly.
And it had nothing to do with their religion, and that maybe these high numbers were people that were, in fact, liberals. Okay, you have no idea. You have nothing to back that up.
Did I say that was the reason why they voted that way?
Yeah, you said that. That's what you said. You're speculating. You have no idea. Are there a lot of liberal Muslims running around?
Do you know if there are?
Well, I'm asking you. You're the one who said it.
No, I'm challenging you, too, because you can't sit there and tell me that I'm wrong if you don't believe, if you believe the same thing.
I said you don't have anything to back it up with.
Well, and either do you saying that maybe they're not.
You're speculating. You're the one that's twisting it. You said it doesn't take into account the numbers of people.
Okay.
That's what percentages are about.
All right. Since when do we come on the airwaves and we have to have complete facts? Sometimes we state our opinion.
Excellent point.
And sometimes we state our opinion.
Why would you have to come on the air with facts? Excellent point.
Well, Ron, I'm letting you on the air because you're a perfect demonstration of the point I'm making. You don't.
Oh.
People do not always, when they're commentators or we're doing, you know, shows that are mentioning political views, sometimes we don't come completely armed with the facts. Sometimes we have an opinion about it, and then we want to generate comment, which is exactly what we did.
Maybe a statement like, it seems to me that many people who support him are liberals. Of course, I think you'd have a hard time explaining that with liberal Muslims, since they, everything that I know about it is they tend to be a little more conservative, not a little more liberal.
All right, would your underwear be in less than a knot if I went on the air and I said, here's the situation, I believe that the reason that people say they approve of the president, no matter what religion they are, is because they believe in what the policies that he has and what he's doing. If they do a poll about religion, it could kind of twist the facts because you don't know what their political beliefs are. You just know where they go to church.
Exactly. You don't know where they go, or even if they go to church. That's, I mean, they self-identified their religion, so then, you don't even know if they go.
Then that's what I'll stick with then.
You know, I think that you know, you're just getting pretty worked up about this poll, and it seems like you're trying to excuse the fact that 72% of one group supported him and less than that of another group. I'll tell you what the interesting part of the poll for me is what was it, 54% of Jewish polled supported him?
55.
I'm actually surprised it's that high.
Why?
I don't think he's been a real good friend of Israel.
You got facts to back that up?
Yeah.
Okay, show me.
When
you're telling me I got to have facts, I'm going to demand facts from you.
When Netanyahu came to the U.S., he refused to meet with him. You remember that?
Yeah. I do.
The U.S. president refused to meet with the prime minister of Israel? Really? That doesn't sound very friendly to me.
Well, and then they said that the United States is just, or the president just came out and said the U.S. would help broker with the situation in the Middle East. Now, that whether that covers that or not, I don't know. But.
I guess it would depend on what kind of a deal he proposed. But look, I mean, it just surprises me that the number's that high. And, you know, it's I doubt if it's a scientific poll, so it's probably just random calls.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take that into account. But, wow, I mean, talk about twisting things.
Okay, well, you have your opinion, I have mine. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's all right. So, listen, have a great weekend, all right?
Thanks.
Ron misses the point. That's okay. It doesn't bother me. Everybody's allowed to have their opinion. I'm just saying that my main point was a math question, or it was a math point, okay? If you have 55% or whatever the Catholics was 40, I forget what it was.
Like 44%?
It was 44% or something. Or 44% of the Catholic population agrees with what the president's doing. That population is higher number-wise than. So that means that if you took the numbers of this poll, remove religion, and just ask straight out, okay, chances are the numbers would change, probably. But you're not talking about specific. I'm wondering what was the emphasis behind doing this poll? Why? Why would Gallup ask and not predicate it by the numbers that? I mean, did they ask the same number of? I'm guessing Muslims and non-Christian and Jewish and Catholic and Mormon, and I imagine they had to do that, but in a representative number. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You take 1,000 Muslims. Juxtaposition with the entire population of Muslims, whereas if you take 1,000 Catholics and put against the entire population, it kind of skews the numbers a little. So, that's what I was concerned about. That's why I'm thinking a poll like this. Some people could run off the end of the earth with it if they wanted to.
If they all did the same number of people, there's not the same number of people for every religion on that poll in the United States.
Yeah, and Ron did make my point. He says, I'm twisting it. Well, I'm saying this is exactly what's going to happen. There are people out there who would take this poll and twist it like crazy. Seriously. So, I'm just curious as to why Gallup did it in the first place. All right, Michael. 6 most annoying phrases in the English language. Coming up next, that is the Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. 590 WKZO News Time, 426. It is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Michael and Jim holding forth. Got to thank Ron. I'm serious. I got to thank Ron. That's the kind of phone call that you like to get periodically because they don't agree with you 100%. You know? Mm-hmm. We had a nice discussion. Yeah, I got a little tense there. But no, I mean, that's cool. I'm glad he called in.
Yeah, you know? Was great.
It was. And that's the kind of phone call you like to get sometimes because you don't always like to get phone calls that agree with you or disagree with you or whatever. You know, it's nice to get somebody who disagrees with you and tries to make a point. And he did a nice job. So good for him. That's cool. All right. 8 phrases in the English language that annoy people completely. All right. We'll see if this agrees and if you have any others on this list maybe. All right. Here you go. Thanks in advance. Thanks in advance for doing this rotten thing that I need you to do. Yeah, really? See, it's usually a management phrase, and they give you an assignment you don't want. You know, thanks in advance for running around the building nude and, you know, whatever. So, yeah, thanks in advance. This one drives me crazy. It is what it is. Really? I like this, what it says in here. It's a longer version of whatever. That one drives me crazy, too. Whatever!
Yeah, that drives me nuts.
It is what it is. Really? Seriously, you're telling me it's not going to like morph into something else while we're talking here? You know, it's like, oh, it is what it is. Okay. At the end of the day, everything will come back into symbiosis. That's also like all in all and push comes to shove, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With all due respect. Always usually coupled with a bad thing. With all due respect, your feet stink, you know. With all due respect, you know, and used to be in the military, used to have to say that, you know. There was a line out of Heartbreak Ridge where Clint Eastwood's character, there was a major, said, get on your feet, highway. And he goes, with all due respect, sir, you're beginning to bore the out of me. Yeah, okay. Then all the fun started. So anyway, it's like saying prepare to be slapped across the head. That's what it basically means. At this moment in time, you know, I like the example here. I deserve a raise, you say. Not at this moment in time, really. You just chew somebody's dreams down? Is that what it is? You know, don't. Yeah, I like this one. Say, rip that bandage off in one swift motion, quote, I'm sorry, but that is never going to happen. Here's one that's become incredibly popular on Facebook. Just saying. I like this. How illuminating. Thank you for clarifying that the thing you just said is the thing you are saying. Really?
I'm just saying.
I have a friend on Facebook that says it all the time. Doesn't bother me when he says it because it's one of his trademarks, so I know. But it's just, you know, just saying. No, I don't think so. I personally, really, is you what? You collectively? You and everybody else in the room that's there? I personally just say, this is what I think, okay? Yeah, you know, make it easy on people. This is another one. I haven't seen this one as much, though. YOLO.
I'm starting to hear my friends say
that. You only live once. Really?
I didn't know that.
I do like the comment here. It says, before you act or speak like this, remember YODO, too. And I'm guessing YODO means you only die once.
Yeah. I think that is what it means.
Yeah. So, and it's supposed to be 9 here, but I only get 8. So I wonder what the 9th one is. So we could come up with one. What would be your 9th one on the list,
Michael? Well, I have a coworker at my other job who always says, for everything, you know how that goes. And I just want to say, you know what? I don't know how that goes. Why don't you explain it to me?
Mine has got to be a toss-up between whatever and, yeah, right. You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got your yeah, right. Jeez.
Yeah, wrong.
Yeah, wrong. Yeah. Just the annoying phrases. Ugh. All right, CBS News is next. Local news with Sam. And then we're going to talk about a project that the White House is thinking about, but they're not going to do anymore because the Republicans are pitching a fit. Or should I say throwing a fit, maybe? Maybe that's not correct. Anyway, and I can understand why this is funny. It is the Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. Jump in the ride. Ooh, 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 ooh. It's Friday night. going to be a good night to do that tonight. Maybe not tomorrow so much, but tonight, yeah.
Yeah, with it going to rain tomorrow,
yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, something like that. 4:36 WKZO News Time, Jeremy Lawrence Show, Friday. Michael Loudon, Jim McKinney, getting ready to wrap up the week. I have to tell you, this is, I know it's throwing my sleep-off pattern off, but this has been fun. I've had a great time working with you and talking to people, and it's been fun. I love the mornings. It's a lot of fun. We have more fun than we probably ought to have. But I really enjoyed this. So Jeremy is coming back on Monday, so just so you know.
Well, thanks, Jim. I just want to say I really enjoyed working with you, too.
Thank you. I think it was a lot of fun, Michael. You make it very easy. And those trivia questions were really good, too, by the way.
Thank you.
We may have to tap into your wealth of knowledge for the morning. So, although I am taking the numbers game with me.
Yes.
It's going to move to the morning show, I think. Yeah, we're going to have to take that one.
That'll be a good one.
So the Obama administration has had a project. There was a White House project that the GSA said they wanted to do, and the Obama administration said no. This is one of those construction projects that's vital to, you know, to defense, everything. They wanted to replace a two-lane bowling alley in the White House complex. By the way, this is the Harry S. Truman Bowling Alley, which is in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building next to the White House. Apparently, they're now irreparable. It's been 15 years since they've had any professional maintenance, modifications, repairs, or attention. They're in bad shape. But a White House official confirmed to Time magazine the project will no longer move forward because Republican National Committee Chairman Reese Priebus criticized the administration's priorities in a tweet on Wednesday. Really? That's all you? That's you had time to do that? Seriously? Wow.
Criticize their use of time.
Yeah, apparently. It wasn't clear how much it would have cost. The cancellation notice offered no explanation, but the lanes usually were used for the use of White House staff and guests. Apparently not for the last 15 years.
Not for the last 15 years.
Because they're just irreparable.
So well, I'm not going to go bowling there anytime soon.
Yeah, apparently not. So, Joe, if you're invited to join the White House Bowling League, don't do it. There's your fun little tidbit. Now, that leads me into this. The announcement's been made. Speaker Boehner has said that he was going to file a lawsuit against the, you know, I hear every day, if I don't get at least one or two, we got to impeach the president on Facebook, I'm not looking hard enough. But John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, has said that he is going to sue the president because he believes he's violated the Constitution concerning Obamacare and telling businesses they could hold off until I think next year.
Okay.
That I think is what they're targeting right now. I don't know if it's against the Constitution or not. My big bugaboo with this was, if you're going to do it for businesses, why couldn't you do it for individuals? You know, why do individuals have to, you know, go flying on the internet and a website that was poorly drawn up and poorly executed and everything like that, but businesses get a pass? Why? Why didn't the individual get that year to also figure out what was going on? Because it might have been, you know, I'm guessing it's because they wanted Obamacare in. And this is the, if you ask, this is the fun part, if you ask Republicans, they will tell you this is the number one burr under their saddle, Obamacare. Because they had it rammed down their throat, so they tell you. They kind of did. The Democrats were kind of real sneaky about it. They didn't do it quite the way they should have. But the simple fact of the matter is that this is going to be sued. So what the question becomes, is this a constitutional question or is this a rally for the party? In other words, is this lawsuit not necessarily to determine whether or not the president violated the Constitution, or is it in benefit of Republican candidates who are running right now and have primary challenges so that they know their party is still out there trying to hammer away at something that they don't like? You know, I don't know. I'm not going to answer that question, because I am not a Republican and nor am I in the House. But I'm guessing the Speaker Boehner is a smart man and he knows that he can pretty much do what he is going to do. And so we'll have to keep an eye on this, obviously. Doesn't happen very often, you know, where the president gets sued or the administration gets sued. So I think it's going to be interesting, but the timing of it is interesting as well. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Hey, fine. You know, Boehner became speaker after the 2010 election, and his big complaint then was Obama hasn't created enough jobs to turn around the recovery, and my number one thing as speaker is going to be jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, it took him long enough, but he finally figured out he's going to hire a bunch of lawyers to sue the president, and that's going to create jobs, at least for lawyers.
You know, I had never tracked that far, but that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good point.
It took 4 years, but he finally fulfilled his promise.
He's going to create jobs. Yeah. There's probably a lot of lawyers close to Washington that are going to have fun with this one. So,
although at the time he claimed that Obama's stimulus, who put people to work like building roads, and that was good union jobs, but that was taxpayer supported, so it didn't count as a real job. So he must have changed his attitude. This taxpayer jobs, I guess, do count as real jobs, that you do have to pay income tax and FICA, so I think it's a real job.
I'm guessing that more jobs would be created with a lawsuit than with an impeachment. Because the impeachment's in the House, and they are already working.
Yeah, they already got jobs.
They already got jobs.
He's going to go the other way.
I say that firmly tongue-in-cheek. I had never tracked that way, but that's an interesting way of looking at it, Gary. Hey, listen, thanks for calling. Have a great weekend, all right?
Okay, bye.
Thanks. Who knew?
I didn't think about that either.
I didn't either. He's right. When Boehner came in, he said his number one thing was jobs. You know, that was going to be the focus. Republicans wanted to put people to work, and it's a very admirable. We're not kicking that. That's an incredible. In fact, I have a plan. You want to hear the gym plan?
Yes.
Not that it means anything. For those of people who are old enough, there are because you read about it too. But there was this thing that in Roosevelt's when Roosevelt was trying to grab the United States out of the Depression, didn't quite make it. It was kind of World War II that kind of dragged us, you know, back to prosperity. But there was this thing called the New Deal. And if you look it up, if you've read history or whatnot, there were several organizations that were organized and put together to actually put people to work. That was their job. Their job was to create jobs and have people do things such as clean up and work in the national parks.
Mm-hmm.
Civilian Conservation Corps, okay? All I hear about is how our national parks are in disrepair, okay? So here's my idea, all right? You take a group of individuals, not just veterans, but people who are unemployed, and the vast majority of people who are unemployed want to work, seriously. You know, I don't know where they get these statistics. Well, these guys are just, you know, they're just trying to off the dole and all. No, you talk to the vast majority of people. Again, I'm using statistics. Ryan's probably going to call back and yell at me. That's my opinion. It's my opinion. I think the vast majority of people that are unemployed probably want to work, you know, because it gives you a good feeling. Well, here, put them to work. We have so many things to do. We're talking about roads, all right? So let's do the roads. You don't have to do it with HARP or whatever that program was called. But put them to work. Do things. And then as far as the national parks go, you put people to work cleaning up the national parks, planting trees, doing whatever, like the Civilian Conservation Corps did.
Make it look beautiful again.
The most massive project that the New Deal put together was the Tennessee Valley Authority, the TVA. And, yeah, they flooded a lot of land down there. But, you know, the thing is, they created so many jobs, and they brought electricity to a vast part of the country that had never had electricity before. So there were quite a few programs, the Works Projects Association, I believe it was called, the Civilian Conservation Corps. But you know how many veterans out there that are homeless and veterans that are unemployed and unemployed people that just all you have to do, if you put a shovel in their hand and tell you this is what you're going to do and this is what you're going to earn, I think that, you know, the only problem is I don't know how we pay for it. That's the big bugaboo. How do we pay for it? That part I have an issue with. But again, if you're paying people to do something, that money is going to go back into the economy. Chris in Plainwell in Richland points this out to me all the time, and it is a straight math fact. The more people you have on the tax rolls, the more taxes you're going to collect. That means the more people that are employed are going to pay taxes. That's a mathematical fact that nobody can disagree
with. And the more money than we have for the state.
Exactly. And so I'm not sure how we'd get to wrap our head around this and pay for it, but I think that's how we solve some of the unemployment problem. Seriously. You organize a new CCC or a new WPA or, you know, not necessarily Tennessee Valley Authority, but maybe, you know, our infrastructure as far as electricity is, you know, maybe we put people to work and build, you know, places where, you know, we can take electricity or internet maybe. I don't know. You know, maybe
more Wi-Fi services.
You know,
yes.
Maybe you have people built out. You know, you never know. You've got so many people out there that are so skilled at something. You find out what they're skilled at, and you put them to work. Okay, put them to work. I just don't know how we pay for it. That's the problem. So, anyway, that's Jim's plan. That's my. I think that kind of a program, even if it's stripped down, maybe each state has to do it. But there are so many. You know, we've had to close or reduce the hours of some state parks in Michigan because we don't have enough people to work in them, you know, because the money's not there, I guess. I don't know. Just there's got to be a way to do this, seriously. But I think those are some jobs that could possibly end up being good, not necessarily incredibly high-paying jobs, but it'll put more people on the payroll, and it'll put more people on the tax rolls. And now Chris is going to take me to task for using his name in vain, right?
Yes, he is.
Yes, you forgot to say Heartbreak Chris.
Oh, yeah, Heartbreak Chris. Yeah, because you're coming up against one, dude.
Rock on, see? Rock on. That's how I work.
Did I not represent you properly, though? The more people, the more jobs. People that are working.
Well, the problem with it, you know, the CCC did. I can't tell you that it helped. It helped immediately employ some people, but it wouldn't it be better to incentivize a part of the economy and keep the government out of it? See, the problem with what you said is that you're taking money out of the economy via taxes, and you're letting the government pick who's gonna do it based on a government contract, which, as we know, government contracts usually don't go to the most apt, but the most politically connected. So the more efficient way to do it would be to incentivize a section of the economy, whether it be rural infrastructure or even actual real infrastructure. But none of that is in front of what the economy is doing, plus or minus. If, you know, we build roads for the sake of building roads, we're not actually helping the economy. We're diverting money out of the real economy into the government to get back into the real economy. And in that process, we've lost part of it. It's gone to D.C., it goes to a suck hole, and we never get it back.
So you don't... So I was going to say, so you don't think that type of program, if you modify it to meet like 21st century standards or whatever, do you turn it over to the states? Do you let the states do it instead of letting the federal government do it?
You do, but obviously the government, whether it's the state or the federal, depending on what scope of project, is in charge of the infrastructure, and that's a very important part of government. But the problem with how government spends money, usually, I've heard this discussion several times, that, you know, the difference between how I spend money and how the government spends money is that the government spends money for political gain, and I spend money for my own economic gain, whether it be, you know, that I want a TV. I have a different set of measurements that inform my purchase as opposed to what the government does. You know, and just look at, you know, like people argue about, you know, well, we need to develop alternative energy, but every project that the government's been involved in pretty much has collapsed as far as alternative energy. And they picked people that were politically convenient for them, but not necessarily the best idea going forward. And so there's the danger, but it's interesting because, you know, I really didn't study the Great Depression until I talked to my great aunts and uncles, and they were so happy about the CCC and the Tennessee River Valley projects because they employed a lot of people. And in some cases, my great uncles were employed by it. So then I went back and started reading, you know, well, why can't we do that now? What stops us? And it is exactly that. It's that the government is going to spend money, you know, in a place like Southwest Michigan, where we're represented pretty much by Republicans, an administrator that's appointed by a Democrat regime may not give us the money that we need to develop
given that we have real development needs, as opposed to, you know, the bridge to nowhere, you know, where a guy got, you know, a bridge really connecting two islands that didn't need to be connected by a roadway for the sake of, you know, spending money because he was connected.
Okay. Hey, Chris, it has been a pleasure getting to talk to you again, man.
Yep.
I appreciate it. Have a good weekend, all right?
You too.
All right, thanks. Now, normally Chris is the heartbreak guy, but I want to get Steve on before we go. Go to a break. So, Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jim?
All right, man. Ready for the weekend, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, I just want to keep this short and simple. I think if we want to pay for a lot of these services that we have, you know, like the parks and stuff like that, why don't we stop giving all the handouts to people, take that money and pay for those kinds of services, get people off their rears, and instead of all the handouts that we can give them, tell them that they got to work for things.
See, and that's kind of what I was thinking. I said, look, you know what, we got all these people that I think want to work, they just can't find employment. Why can't we put them to work?
Yeah, well, they want to work, but they have it too good collecting their unemployment checks and their government benefits. Why should they work?
Well, some people, I think the majority of people that collect unemployment, they would rather work than collect that. Now, I'm just saying that altruistically. I have no statistical background at all.
Yeah.
I know nothing about that. But, yeah, no, I think there's a way to pay for it. I really do. I just wish we could figure it out.
I know it. And, you know, we got left and we got the right people, and nobody wants to meet in the middle.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of lonely here in the middle.
Yeah, I know.
I know it. Steve, thanks for calling. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too, Jim.
Appreciate it, man.
All right,
take care. Yeah, no, he's got a point. You know, it's never the two shall meet. You know, it's tough.
I'll tell you what, though. If I didn't have a job, I would get bored after a while, and I would want to be out
there. I
will
tell you what
more.
I agree with Chris when he said it's got to be non-political. It has to. You got to take the politics out of it, and that is true. Anything times, you know, things get big, the politics always enters anyway, and that's where you have problems. So
definitely.
All right, we're going to start wrapping things up for this Friday. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Michael and Jim holding forth 590 WKZO. 4:57 WKZO News Time, getting ready to wrap things up for the Jeremy Lawrence Show for this week. We got to end on a fun note. This is great. Michael handed me this story. Apparently, the Department of Transportation in Pennsylvania shares driver's license information to the Selective Service. And these guys, apparently, there were 14,000 dead men in Pennsylvania who received draft notices, or at least notices to register for the draft. Uh-huh. And they couldn't get a hold of the draft board. That cracked them up. There was nobody there. Although I like the comment by this one lady. She's, her grandfather probably would have served again. You know? Said, so I like this. We made a mistake. You think?
Yeah, what are they going to do? Get out of their graves and come serve? I mean, come on.
There's a brigade you may not want to deal with. This just wasn't good. We do apologize. Yeah.
These guys can't even drive now, for gosh sakes.
I know. I don't know where they got their... man, I'm telling you. Michael, it has been a pleasure.
It certainly has, Jim.
It's been a lot of fun this week. Jeremy will be back on Monday. I go back to mornings on Monday, but I have to tell you, I have had a ball in the afternoon. It's been nice to come back temporarily anyway and enjoy and have a great time. It really has. So I'm it's been fun. Tiger baseball tonight, 7:45. They're at Kansas City, game two of the series. They beat up on the Royals last night, 16-4. Let's hope that we can have another win under our belts. It's the second of a four-game set. And then the Growlers also are in action on the road. They will end up their two-game series with Waterloo tonight at Waterloo, and then they'll be in Rochester the next two games and then come home. So if you're out in Parchment tomorrow after 10 o'clock, come out to the car show. I'll be playing the music up on top of Kindleberger Park, so come on up and say hi if you get a chance to. But thanks to everybody who's made this a great week, all the callers and all the nice comments that we've gotten via the text and via the telephone. And, of course, more than anybody else, Michael Loudon, who makes this place run smooth as silk. And I appreciate that very much. Jeremy's back on Monday. I'll be back on Kalamazoo's Morning News coming up 5 o'clock afternoon news. Have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Keep it tuned to 590 WKZO. See ya.
The This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.